we move into the second half of today's program, hour number three gets underway. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And Jimmy, it's been something I know a lot of focus, and rightly so, is on Tennessee and Auburn tomorrow with a 2 o'clock tip off. But it's been really neat to see as much as we have in terms of Senior Bowl practices, different things like that, as not just for the Tennessee Vols that are competing in the game this weekend with Darnell Wright and with Byron Young, but also just to see him work as this is kind of their first opportunity to really get out in front of NFL representatives on hand to watch them perform.
Yeah, it is. And we've heard really good things about Darnell Wright from Mike Tenenbaum, who thinks that Wright could move himself into being a first-round draft pick. We heard positive things from Hendon Hooker. Mike Key talked about how impressive he's been, how mature he's been, how well he's done in the interviews. And interestingly enough, saying that his age might help him because of his maturity as opposed to hurting him, because a lot of folks you'd think would want a 22-year-old. But when you look at the longevity of quarterbacks in the NFL, that changes that picture a little bit. And I think Jalin Hyatt, Mike Dettillier, and others think he's going to be a first-round draft pick. So I think the Vols have done nothing so far except help themselves in the Senior Bowl.
Yes. So it's been great to see them take advantage and make the most as all 125 players on hand are getting to meet with all 32 teams, which is really something. And the game, you'll be able to watch them compete tomorrow, as I think it is the Senior Bowl tomorrow, correct?
Yes, I believe. Yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah. So that'll be actually a 2:30 kickoff, as you'll have the national team and the American team squaring off. But and that's 30 minutes after Tennessee and Auburn tip off. Huge opportunity for the Tigers as they come to town. And for Tennessee, they're in bounce-back mode.
Yeah, Tennessee is in bounce-back mode. We've seen a lot of teams bouncing back from bad performances, whether it was Kentucky against South Carolina and beating Tennessee, whether it was Alabama getting blown out by Oklahoma and then blown out Vanderbilt. I would expect to see Tennessee bounce back. Is that going to be good enough? Don't know. I do think it's the best SEC game on the docket. It is two ranked opponents. We'll see what happens. And, of course, there's the storyline of Bruce Pearl returning to Knoxville. Rick Barnes met with the media earlier today. Hear comments from Tennessee's head coach.
Rick, you're pretty confident about your team bouncing back from the Florida game?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I know that we obviously look at what we do after every game, and I don't think anybody's happy with the way we played at Florida, but this league is good. It's hard to win. It's hard to win in any league, and the fact is we didn't play our best basketball, and we got beat, and we're going to have to play. Obviously, the next game always looms big when you're whether you win or lose, the next one's a big one, and you guys know that, but we're going to have to play better. We're going to have to take care of some of the mental breakdowns that we had in that game and to be able to win any more games the rest of the year, because you look at our schedule, it's only going to get tougher and tougher, starting with Auburn Saturday afternoon. And, you know, Bruce has done what he always does, a terrific job with this team, and he's going to get the most out of them every year and as hard as they play, and knows what he's going to look for in his different matchups that he's going to try to seek out. So we're going to have to be on edge and know that we've got to play better.
Were there more mental breakdowns than usual?
There was more defensively. I mean, we've won games. I mean, we had some really good shots that didn't go in, but that's part of the game. I mean, but we can't let that affect what we do on the defensive end. And when we got the lead in the game, we didn't do what we needed to do on the defensive end. And that's what let the game get away from us, and there was, yeah, some defensive breakdowns that we can't have.
Coach, you've been doing this a long time. Are you surprised still when you play as good as you did on Saturday and then 3 or 4 days later play like you did at Florida?
You know, I don't think I'm surprised. I don't. I think it's really hard to be a great basketball team because young people today have a lot of distractions that can come their way, and if you're not on top of it as much as we try to be, but still there's a lot of things going on out there. And for some guys, I mean, you know, being where we are, they've worked hard to get us here, but it's hard to not only get here, but it's really hard to stay here, and it's really hard to do it night in and night out. And to do that, you know, you've got to have a really state of mind where you can stay focused one day at a time and never, ever, ever take somebody for granted, think it's going to be easy, because it's not easy. I don't care who you play. It is not easy. And we've got to do a better job, but I can tell you, am I surprised? I'm not, because I've had teams that have gone through it, had some that handled a little bit better, but I don't think I've ever had one that handled it all perfectly.
What were the conversations and meetings like yesterday, I guess, once you guys got back here and had a chance to reconvene?
talked about, you know, what we didn't do, mainly defensively. You know, that's what, again, we can talk about our shots. I mean, we had opportunities there to shoot the ball, but we can't let the fact that we missed open shots at times affect us on the defensive end. And that was really the crux of what it got down to. We fought back in the game as we got off to a poor start with some defensive breakdowns, but we fought back in it. And then once we got the lead, we just and give them credit. They fought back, and for whatever reason, we weren't as sharp as we needed to be on the defensive end.
How do you feel you all defended Colin Castleton, and how much is that matchup going to prepare you for this weekend with Broome?
Well, I don't think we defended him as well as we needed to. I mean, you know, he's a really good basketball player, and we knew going in that not only is he a guy that they look to score, but they look for him to facilitate a lot, and he's a terrific player. And we weren't disciplined enough. We had every time we reached, he made us pay, and we should be by now too experienced to reach on a guy like that, because good players, good teams, if you try to go for gambles and steals, and if you don't come up with them, they're going to make you pay, and I thought he did that.
How important is it that you know what you're going to get from Julian and Tyreek night in and night out?
I think it's important with every guy, you know, having – and again, some nights you miss shots. You can live with that, but I think the key with not just those two guys but everybody, the fact that they will take shots when they're there, and but on the other end – we've got to know night in and night out from every guy that we're going to get their best effort, and obviously their focus on the defensive end, and just on offense we execute. Like the other night, we got a high quality of shots. We didn't make the shots, but we've won games where we didn't make shots. We won a game against University of Maryland when we shot 29%, and we've had games where we haven't shot well, but we won them because we defended for the most part. We didn't do that the other night.
What needs to happen for y'all to get more offensive consistency from Julian?
Well, I think it's a mindset on his part, too, understanding. But it's not that we want to try to put the whole load on him, but we talked to him about being aggressive, understanding how we need him to play. And, you know, the other night it showed up, I think he only had four shots, but he got to the free throw line, and we need him to continue to do that. But I would, whether it's him, Olivier, anybody on our team, I mean, you look at everybody's game plan, has been all year, will continue to be until we make them do otherwise. They're going to work hard at taking away our perimeter game and have us put the ball inside with our post guys, and our post guys are going to have to give us something. And it not necessarily may not be a shot. It might just be playing inside out. But people are obviously concerned about the perimeter guys. And so we need, whether it's Julian or Tyreek or whoever, we need those guys, Josiah, Uros, Jonas, Tobey, we need those guys to help us.
Rick, against Texas, you made 68.5% of your two-point shots, but you made less than 31% at Florida. Is two-point shooting more important to this team than three-point shooting?
I think it's all important. I mean, shots are – you want good quality shots, and whether you get – I mean – you don't get many great shots in college basketball when you play against high-level teams. I mean, they're going to guard. They're going to take things away. And like, we try to work hard at running people off the three-point line. Other teams will do the same thing to us. So if you could get some rim shots, some mid-range shots, I mean, we believe in the mid-range game. Some people don't. We do. But we had some of those shots the other night that we didn't make. But those are shots that we practice and that we believe in. But they're all important.
How challenging is it for a freshman to strike the balance of being aggressive, but like you said, not feeling like they need to carry the load offensively?
Well, I think it's a balance, but again, we're not asking him to carry the load. We're asking, you know, we got a group of guys that we think that certainly, you know, we can spread it around, but it goes back to consistency. That's what it goes back to, not only, you know, Julius, but Julian talking about him carrying the load. It's not so much about again, one guy carrying the load. We just need consistency and balance from guys each and every game that we know what we're going to get.
Coach, when you go small with Josiah at four, Olivia at five, where's the line where you're trying to make people match up with you as opposed to you matching up with them? I mean, is there something you see where you're like, it's not working, we got to go big?
Yeah, well, that's what I think is great about this team, is we can do that. And, you know, we did it the other night. You know, we saw that, you know, we started out the way we'd been playing, and we went to the bigger lineup. And then it goes back to, you know, again, defensive. We're not going to get away from who we are on the defensive end. That's what we built this team on. And it goes back to, can we guard the way we needed to guard? And we did a decent job, but when we got the lead, we didn't do a very good job, and that was the difference in the game. And we work hard with our post guys trying to guard a lot of different people, but the other night we were just too undisciplined in the post, and Castleton took advantage of it.
Coach, a little more about Auburn. They lost some key pieces from last year's team, but what is it that they're doing real well this year, and what might be a big challenge tomorrow?
I think what Bruce does with this team every year, he's going to take the pieces he's got, and he's going to put the puzzle together, and I think he's done it again this year. You know, they're certainly a different team, but every year he's going to take what he's got, and he's going to get guys playing at a high. They're going to play hard. You know, they're going to execute what he wants them to do, and they are a team that, you know, they get going. They're explosive. They get down. They're going to keep grinding away with it. But you know, he does a great job year in and year out with whatever guy pieces he has. He's going to put them together.
Coach, one of the, I guess, most unusual things about the other night was you guys just had 7 assists, and you lead the conference in that. Was that just a matter of missed shots?
You miss open shots, you don't get assists. Okay. You got to make shots. I mean, and all those passes, those mid-range shots were all passes that we didn't make.
Talk about the toughness of this league, just how big of an opportunity is this for you guys to...
Every game you play, it's not just us, it's everybody. Everybody's got an opportunity every night to do something to get themselves in position. I mean, February is a month where everybody's fighting to try to, you know, secure something in the postseason, and it's not just us, it's everybody. Everybody's got something to play for, and you've got to be ready to play every single night, and I don't think there's a team in the country that if they're not ready to play, they can't get beat this year. I mean, I think that's the one thing that we've seen up to college basketball right now. You've got to be on top of it, and if you're not, you're going to lose.
Take one more.
This is a little off topic, but would you favor going from a 30-second clock to a 24-second clock?
No, I think the 30-second clock is a great clock for college basketball. I think 24 is a little bit too difficult for college players to play with. People don't realize how hard it is to play with a 24-second clock, and the fact that we got 30, and I think it's right for our game.
Comments from Tennessee coach Rick Barnes. Vols coming off a disappointing loss at Florida. They now host Auburn. Auburn is 17-5, 7-2 in conference play. Tennessee 18-4, 7-2 in the SEC. 2 o'clock is the tip-off. Certainly you can hear it right here. And on WIVIC, it's also going to be on ESPN. So big game for Tennessee as they take on Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers.
That's right. As Jimmy mentioned, 2 o'clock tip. Coverage starts at 1:30 as you listen to Sports Talk. We've got more coming your way on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
So recently, Jay Billis was here for ESPN's Game Day, and there was a teleconference that they did, and I had a chance to ask the former Duke star about the transfer portal. And so here's what Jay Billis said about the transfer portal in college athletics.
I just want to ask about the transfer portal, and, you know, you look at a team like Kansas State, Keontae Johnson, and their transfers. You know, ranked in the top 5. We've had some other teams like NC State, Georgia, Missouri that have seemed to kind of, you know, radically change their fortunes from one year to the next with the portal, but certainly Kansas State. I guess, is this just a unique time and era in college basketball where a coach can go out and turn over his roster and get experienced players and change a team's fortune from year to year?
Yes, the transfer portal has made it possible that when you take a new job or if you have a class full of older players that leave, whether they transfer out, whether they graduate, whether they decide to turn pro, whatever it is, you can replace those players with experienced players right away. And that was never the case before. You always had to build through recruiting classes. And so there was more of a continuity to how it went, but it also required time to rebuild. And, you know, when you took a new job, it took time to rebuild the program. That's no longer the case. Now, it may still be as difficult to put a roster together that's going to be competitive for a championship, whether in your conference or nationally. But it's not as difficult now to put a competitive team on the floor that's gonna win games and be good. It's just a question of making the right decisions with the talent available. And the hardest part, I believe, for coaches is making the decision. Do you go with the talented high school player, or do you go with a seasoned veteran that may not be experienced in your way of doing things or your program, but is experienced overall? And it seems like a number of coaches have leaned toward, you know, the super talented freshman and going toward the more experienced players that they can get in the portal. Look, I get it. It has made roster management more of a challenge, and there are more decisions to be made now more than ever. You know, April and May are difficult months for coaches that are trying to keep their roster together and decide, you know, find out who's staying, who's going, and re-recruiting your current players, which they never had to do before, and making decisions on players that are available and getting to know them as quickly as possible, so you can make intelligent decisions. But look, I get it that there are issues with the portal that can be better regulated. Most notably, the timing of when players make decisions to go into the portal and things like that. Like, that can be better managed. But what I don't get is the constant complaining of the coaches about it. That it just strikes me as odd that the players would be subject to the equivalent of a non-compete provision in an employment contract when they're unpaid by their schools. So I believe immediate eligibility for a player that transfers is entirely appropriate, and that should be the case. One of the great things about the portal that doesn't get talked about enough is you have so many of these players that have played on the quote unquote mid-major level that have been really successful and essentially played in anonymity, and they transfer to the quote unquote higher level, where they're on national television all the time and they're impact players and they become nationally known. And why shouldn't those players be allowed, just because they were under recruited out of high school or not properly evaluated, whatever the case may be, why should they be relegated to that for their entire college career? I think it's entirely appropriate that they be allowed to do that, just as a coach at that level has a great season and moves up a level. The coaches do that all the time, and I realize there are differences in players and coaches, but I've never felt like the year in residence, sitting out a year, was right. It only applied to five sports, and everybody else could be immediately eligible, so it never made any sense to me. So I'm happy that the players have this option, but I do agree that it could be better regulated so that that there's a little more certainty as to when these decisions are made.
ESPN's Jay Billis. Now, a few things on that. One, I didn't ask that question. Sorry about that. That was somebody else that asked Billis a question about the transfer portal. The other thing, which I am in Billis's camp on this, I didn't understand why, okay, in these five sports, you have to sit out a year, but in all the other sports, you don't have to sit out a year. I always thought that was a little bit strange. Why? It's like, right, these sports are important, but these others, we don't care. You can go where you want. And then the other thing is, and Auburn's got one of these, and Johnny Broom, mm-hmm, he was at Morehead State for 2 years, and he blossomed, and he averaged a double-double last year. Now he's at Auburn, where he's getting more notice. He's proven to be a really nice player. And so, yeah, I don't have an issue with that. I'll say this, if John Moran had come back another year in college, I don't think he'd have been at Murray State.
No.
So, yeah, I can see that where you have players that blossom. And I wonder if that happens more in basketball than other sports, where you see somebody that, okay, I don't know why they didn't take this guy like a Ja Morant or like a Broom, and why they weren't more highly recruited. And then all of a sudden it's like, man, that guy's really good. We talked the other day about Morant at Murray State against Dame Lillard at Weber State. That was a matchup of two of the best players in the NBA. So I can see where somebody that's playing at a little bit of a lower school that we want. Steph Curry's brother did that, didn't he?
Yeah, Davidson.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
And did he go to Duke? Is that, where did he end up going?
I think it was. I'm not 100% sure on that. But, yeah, you're exactly right. Had that opportunity and wound up at because it was Steph that went to Davidson. And then,
yes.
Then you had Seth that kind of earned an opportunity to move up, so to speak.
Yeah. So, interesting. Those were the comments from Jay Billis. Just a couple other quick notes out there. As far as Pebble Beach, the Pro-Am tournament, they play on three different courses out there. Scott Stallings tied for fourth. The Knoxville resident is at 7 under par through 10 holes. He is tied for fourth at Pebble Beach. So congratulations to him. Also, the number 10-ranked Tennessee men's team, they lost 4-1 to number 3 TCU yesterday in a home match at the indoor facility. The only win was at number 1 singles. And next up for Tennessee, they're going to head to New York. After that, they go to Chicago for the ITA National Indoors, where they were the runner-up a year ago, and we'll see if they can bring back a championship this time around.
Seth started at Liberty and then went to Duke.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so you had his last school right. I was incorrect about his first school. But we'll get a break when we return. Plenty to talk about with John McClain, our friend from Houston, joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline as joining us from Houston, our good friend John McClain. He, of course, has been jet-setting across this great land of ours, and you can find his work at sportsradio610.com as well as gallerysports.com. No paywall at either site. Fantastic follow at McClain_on_NFL. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I went to Palm Beach, spent 2 days with 40 Hall of Famers in baseball and football, covering Mr. October's charity golf tournament. Hang on, I got a cough.
Sure.
Sorry about that.
That's quite all right.
Being around all those Hall of Famers, especially baseball, there's rappers there. It was a great event. I got 19 videos, a couple columns. I'm going to go back next year. And then on the way back, with our videographer, we went to the Astros ballpark. It was totally empty, totally silent. We did 4 videos from there about the defending world champions are coming. And then I come back and the Texans hired D'Amico Ryans, which was the most right up there with Gary Kubiak when they've hired coaches. And people are so pumped up to have him come back because he's one of the best and most popular players in franchise history. And he was top assistant coach out there. Every team that needed a coach wanted to talk to him. He told Carolina no, canceled interviews with the Colts and the Cardinals. And he interviewed with Broncos day before the Texans, then told them no thanks. And he got a 6-year contract. The news conference was yesterday. They had former players, current players. It was spectacular. And, boy, I tell you what, his speech that he gave about what he believes in, what he wants to do with his franchise, he's come a long way since he left here 11 years ago to go play for the Eagles and then began his coaching career with Kyle Shanahan in Santa Clara. So, people, it's happy days are here again in Houston.
So do you think that now he's already trying to assemble his staff? He's wasted no time whatsoever, and he's got very specific ideas as to who he wants filling what role. But when it comes to personnel, quarterback, I think obviously the greatest need, do you think they need to trade to that top spot in the draft, or should they wait on an either-or as to any team that could get that first pick away from the Bears?
Well, Nick Caserio, the GM, makes that call, and it'll be made with a lot of input from D'Amico Ryans. Because he's only been a coach 6 years and a coordinator two, he needs an experienced personnel guy like Caserio, who's done it 22 years, two here, 20 in New England. And if there's one quarterback they have clearly in front of the other, then I think, yeah, they've got 11 draft choices, and they got 10 next year. You give the Bears one to swap places. You don't give them a lot to swap one spot. In a perfect world, they'll have both of them close together and not have to give up a pick. And since Ryans is a defensive coordinator, there's two great defensive players out there. Well, both of you guys know well, and Will Anderson Jr., tackle Jalen Carter. You know a head coach as a defensive coordinator would love to have one of those guys because they need both positions. And so I think this, and I don't know, it's just my opinion, this franchise is in the third year of a rebuild. They've gone 4-12, 4-13, 3-13-1. And they fans want to see some improvement. You know, they don't have to go to the playoffs. Don't have to have a winning record. They'd like to see them go from 3 up to somewhere around 6. And I think they'll draft a quarterback at the top and 12th pick, which they got from Cleveland for Deshaun Watson. I've been having that pick as a wide receiver, big play wide receiver, not anymore. I'm going to predict they're going to take the best defensive tackle or end who is on the board when they make that pick.
John, Sean Payton going to the Broncos. Can this be a quick fix, a quick turnaround with him working with Russell Wilson, or do you think it's going to take time?
Jimmy, they've been devoid of high picks. They don't have a lot of money under the cap. That's the key. Can he help Russell Wilson? He said on Fox last season early on that Wilson was not being used the right way, not being used the way he was at Seattle. That's because Nathaniel Hackett, their first-year coach, who didn't last the season, was doing a terrible job. Now, at the end of the year, they had quarterbacks coach Clint Kubiak call the plays. And Russell Wilson had a couple of good games. Don't know if it's because of Wilson or Kubiak or a combination of. But they got a good defense. They just need to develop a running game. But they're in a tough division, as we know, ruled by Kansas City. But it doesn't matter. If Peyton's in there for the long haul, and he's 59, say he's going in there for 10 years, you know, in 4 or 5 years from now, people won't even remember they didn't have those picks. I think they'll definitely be better than they were, but will they be a playoff contender? I don't see it right now.
A lot of people thought Tom Brady would land with another team. Instead, he retired. Did that surprise you any, John?
Sure did, Jimmy. The way he did it, looked like he's on a beach, like he'd been jogging. All of a sudden, oh, let me get on social media and announce my retirement. And I think there'd been a lot of speculation where he would go. Would he go to the Raiders, be reunited with Josh McDaniels, or would he go to the 49ers who wanted him before and they got issues at quarterback because of injuries? Would he go back to New England? And he told him that ain't happening. So I don't blame him. He's going to get a raise. I mean, people retire and get a humongous raise, get their money almost doubled. He's going to get $37.5 million a year from Fox, and I'm guessing they will have him involved in some small way on the Super Bowl coverage to tease what he's going to be doing next year on the coverage. And I think he'll be good. A lot of people think he's pablum. I thought Troy Aikman was pablum when he played, and he was. Nobody covered Troy Aikman, thought he'd be any good on TV. And now he's outstanding. Tony Romo was. Now the bloom's off that rose. But I can't wait to see Brady on TV. The only guy I've ever said I would watch because of him would have been Peyton Manning if Peyton had done it.
We also know that it's, in all likelihood, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be back with San Francisco. So what do you think the market will be like for him? And do you think his opportunity comes after, say, somebody like Derek Carr, if all indicators are that the Raiders move in a different direction?
The difference in the two of them is Garoppolo can't stay healthy, and Carr's been healthy. And he had a little injury issue at the end of the season. It wasn't really, but they just didn't want him to get hurt, and they'd have to pay him They told him to stay away. I'm not sure which one I would want if I was a team like the Jets or the Titans. And the Titans haven't moved on from Ryan Tannehill, but I'll be surprised if they don't. I think he's done as much as he can do for them since John Robinson acquired him from Miami. And if I'm Carr, everybody thinks he's going to be unrestricted free agent because nobody's going to pick up his contract. And he's not going to redo a contract for a trade because he wants to be unrestricted. They only made $41 million this year, so I think that he to go to a team where he wants to go, he can afford to take a pay cut to make sure it's cap-friendly for the new team. But I like Derek Carr. Just last season, he threw for almost 5,000 yards. They gave him a big new contract. Now they've decided to move away from him. I think that's good for him. You know, Derek Carr is a really good guy. So is Jimmy Garoppolo. And I hope both those guys land on their feet and stay there for a long time.
We've got more with John McClain coming up. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk. Final segment for us with our friend John McClain as he joins us from Houston. And why don't we, while we have the opportunity, check in with a caller, Mike. Mike, you're on Sports Talk. Hello.
Hey, John. Great to be with you. Jimmy, it's good to hear you've apparently come out of retirement. We're glad to know you're still with us then. And John McClain, always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Appreciate your observation so much. Thank you.
Of course, two of our favorites here in Tennessee, as you well know, are Josh Dobbs and Hendon Hooker. Where do you see Hendon Hooker falling in the draft, given his injury? Number two, you mentioned you thought that Tannehill would not be with us next year, the Titans. Do you think they feel like Dobbs – well, do you think they're going to give Dobbs a full chance, or are they going to be looking elsewhere?
No, they're going to be looking elsewhere. Thank you for the kind words. And they need to. Now, they haven't said anything about giving up on Ryan Tannehill, but it's been pretty obvious since the playoffs in last season, not to mention this season when he was hurt a lot, it's time to move on. Plus, he has a huge cap figure. And there's some veteran quarterbacks. They don't need to draft a young quarterback to develop. You've got to maximize what Derrick Henry's got left, and Derrick Henry's coming off a really good season. He got, you know, he didn't play the last game. If he had, he might have rushed for another 100 yards, and so they need to get another veteran quarterback like they did with Ryan Tannehill, and there are choices out there.
Okay. All right. And what about Hooker?
I think Hendon Hooker is – I think the fact his age combined with the injury would knock him probably into the second round, but, man, he was playing so well, as you guys know. And if you're 25 years old and you play 10 years, that's no big deal anymore. Guys are playing into their late 30s. So I think Hendon Hooker is going to get a lot of time to rest and rehab that knee, and then – somebody's got a chance, if they coach him the right way, have a very special quarterback. It's amazing to me. I watch all these draft gurus talking about Anthony Richardson may have the most talent. Anthony Richardson's moving up in the top 10. And I'm like, and doing what? He's not working out for anybody. What is he, throwing videos of him throwing the ball 70 yards with nobody rushing him? With no pads on, nobody covering the receivers, give me a break.
I feel the same way about Will Levis. Oh, well.
Absolutely. Will Levis is going to look better and better in his shorts and T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And his stock will go up. And that's just the way it is. The scouts, they won't admit this, but the closer we go to the draft and the longer the scouting process goes on, They forget about what they did in college. They forget about the bad decisions and the bad throws.
The NFL came out and said concussions up 18% over the previous year. They have redefined what a concussion is. John, does that number surprise you at all?
No, because they've redefined it. And it's amazing to me how many concussions were suffered because they hit their head on the ground, like Tua Tagovailoa, happened to him multiple times. And I know one of the things I read about Mike McDaniel, their coach, saying they were going to work with him to help him fall more effectively. In other words, there's some way you can keep from hitting your head as much as he did. I don't have a clue what it is. I hope he just got out of concussion protocol. I hope he stays out of it forever. But the NFL is making it tougher and tougher. You know, that concussion protocol, they're so worried about it. You know, it can decide games if you have to take the quarterback out. But no, it doesn't surprise me based on how many guys are having trouble keeping their head up.
One other quick one. Jimmy Garoppolo, do you see much of a market? Will he be in much demand?
I believe he will because he played really well. He knew he was going to be an unrestricted free agent, and he capitalized on it, but he got hurt. I would not be giving him a huge contract. I would give him money per game in which he started. And I don't care if it's $1 million a game, but just make sure he's on the field because he has been injury prone.
John, what are you working on this week?
On GallerySports.com, I have all kind of videos that I did with Hall of Famers in Palm Beach. It was a great time. A lot of really good interviews about baseball, about Super Bowl, and a lot of stuff on D'Amico Ryan's and on my radio station's website, SportsRadio610.com. It's all Ryan's all the time.
It sure has been, but so many different angles to cover. It really has been a remarkable story, and I thought that that had to be one of the coolest pictures you've ever posed for when you're there talking with Reggie Jackson.
Yes, it was very cool, and I'll be back seeing you guys on Tuesday, and I look forward to it. Thank you.
We appreciate you, John. Enjoy your weekend. That's John McClain joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break coming up. Hour number four of Sports Talk. We'll have Steve Hamer for Hamer Time. He'll join us around 6:15. Comments from Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper as Tennessee a big win last night. Solid performance in the victory against Ole Miss. And up next, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. So stay with us on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.